Speaker!
Order! Order! The House will come to order straight away. Order!
The second extended week in this Parliament, under the new rules that allow more sitting hours without having to go into urgency, saw the House sitting through to 9:30 on Thursday night. Although that only added an extra couple of sitting hours, taking the weekly total to 19, the spirit of cross-party cooperation enabled the House to make progress on 7 bills. As in the first extended sitting last month, they were all bills implementing the government settlement deals on treaty claims. 4 of the bills were put through their committee stage, and another 3 were given a first reading and sent to the Māori Affairs Select Committee for examination and the hearing of submissions. In stark contrast to the harmonious approach to those settlement bills, the House could not have been more divided over the bill debated before them on Thursday, the government's mixed ownership model bill. Leading off its first reading after question time on Thursday, the Minister for State-Owned Enterprises, Tony Ryle, said the debate was really all about debt.
It's not about the Treaty of Waitangi. It's not about foreign ownership. It's not about other consideration. It is about controlling our nation's debt.
That view met immediate challenge from Labor's Deputy Leader Grant Robertson.
This is actually an issue of sovereignty, as Mr. Ryle said, but he got it completely around the wrong way. The issue of sovereignty here is one about New Zealanders controlling our future.
And Grant Robertson pointed the finger at United Future Leader Peter Dunn, whose support is crucial in giving National a one-vote majority on this bill.
61-60, Mr. Speaker. Peter Dunn's vote is the one that will carry this. And the people of Ohariu, they will tell this minister and this member time and time again over the next months, they don't want these assets sold.
But the member for Ohariu was standing firm.
Mr. Speaker, I want to make it clear on behalf of United Future that we will be supporting this legislation because we think it is sensible, we think it is what New Zealand requires.
And Peter Dunn refuted claims that he'd changed his stance since the election.
And what the public of New Zealand really do not like is politicians who say one thing before an election and do something else after it. And I invite every member of this House to look at every statement United Future made prior to the election, every statement made subsequently, and try and draw a difference between them, because there is no difference.
Peter Dunn is joined by ACT leader John Banks in giving the government the numbers it needs to move the bill off to a select committee, while National's other parliamentary ally, the Maori Party, is voting with the opposition. The bill was sent off to the Finance and Expenditure Committee with instructions that it be reported back on or before Monday, July the 16th. The vote at the end of the first reading, 61-60, as predicted earlier by Grant Robertson, who also had this to say.
Mr. Speaker, this is short-sighted. It's a sugar-hit economic policy. And it's all very well for Mr. Key to get unconditional love for Moonbeam, but he shouldn't be taking economic advice from him as well. Mr. Speaker.
Moonbeam is the Prime Minister's cat, which Mr. Key informed the House on Wednesday loves him with all its heart. Information he volunteered in answer to this question about cost-cutting at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from opposition leader David Shearer.
Does he agree with the change management advisers' helpful suggestions to staff facing the loss of their jobs that they, quote, take a hot bath, pray, do yoga or get a pet because, quote, a pet's love is unconditional?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I haven't seen the report, nor have I seen the context that's made in, but when it comes to Moonbeam, yes, her love is unconditional to me, yes.
Mr. Key had already professed his love for another member of his household in answer to a different question from David Shearer on Tuesday.
To the Prime Minister, does he stand by all his recent statements?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, yes, especially the one I said to my wife when I told her I loved her.
The Speaker, Lockwood Smith, reminded the Prime Minister that the House is not a home and things said in it can have more serious consequences.
Ministers would be wise to recollect that if they include material in their answers, they can be questioned on it immediately.
And needless inclusion of one word had serious consequences for Attorney General Christopher Finlayson, standing in on Thursday for Foreign Affairs Minister Murray McKelly to answer questions from Labor's Foreign Affairs spokesman Phil Goff.
Why were ambassadors told yesterday, instructed, not to express their concerns to him in cables?
The Honourable Chris Finlayson.
Well, on behalf of the Minister, I'm not sure of what instructions were issued, but I would have thought if such an instruction was issued, it was very good because it would end up in the malignant hands of that member.
Order!
Order. Honourable Chris Finlayson will get to his feet and withdraw and apologise for that last totally unacceptable comment.
The House is adjourned for a week, back on Tuesday, March the 20th. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.